Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki. Welcome this evening. I'm so very happy to be with each and every one of you. I have a very special guest that hasn't been on, I guess, since summer, Richard Andrew King. And he is the person who does the King's numerology. And I'm telling you right now, I go to Mr. King every year for my numerology as well as does my family member. So we are very excited to have you on tonight. Richard, how are you doing in California this evening?
Hi, Dr. Vicki. You're doing fine. And thanks for that introduction. And thanks for having me on your show again. It's always a pleasure to be able to share the truth of numerology and destiny with your audience. I'm thrilled.
Well, I know that you've been researching and studying numerology for over 20 years, even though I know that you're young. You have an English degree. You have a, well, I mean, you know.
35 whatever. Years.
35 years. Well, this book is an older book than that I just picked up. And I know you've written, well, at least 10 books that I know of. And I just am excited to have you on the show because you offer to so many people the opportunity to know their destiny. And, you know, why is it important to know your destiny?
Very important from my standpoint, of course, after 35 years. And the 10 books are on numerology. I do have 6 other books that are non-numerology related. But for your audience that may not believe in destiny, I would say that destiny is a fact of life. And if I may, I'd like to quote to you 6 brief quotations from different people throughout history on the subject of destiny. The first two are from the Bible because most of America has a Judeo-Christian background. And one of them is from Matthew 10:30. It says, "The very hairs of your head are all numbered." That's very important when one thinks about the depth of what that statement really means. The second one is from Ecclesiastes 3:1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." And then it goes on, a time to be born, a time to die, and so forth. The key word is a time to every purpose. Then St. Charan Singh of the 20th century says, "All men come into this world with a destiny of their own, which goes on pushing them relentlessly on the course already marked out for them." His grandfather, who was his master, was Saint Sawan Singh. He lived in the 19th and 20th centuries. He even got more specific. He stated, "The total number of breaths which one is to take till death, the morsels which one is to eat, and the steps which one is to walk are all preordained at birth, and no one can alter, decrease, or increase them." That's a powerful statement. Then we have Dr. Albert Einstein, the greatest scientist of the 20th century, saying this, "Everything is determined, the beginning as well as the end, by forces over which we have no control. It is determined for the insect as well as for the star. Human beings, vegetables, or cosmic dust, we all dance to a mysterious tune intoned in the distance by an invisible piper." And the last quote is from Guru Amar Das, who lived in the 15th and 16th centuries, and he said, "God himself forces his creatures into destined paths of karmas over which they have no control and which cannot be effaced. Whatever is destined to take place must take place." Now, if you look at those two quotes between Dr. Albert Einstein of the 20th century and Guru Amar Das of the 15th and 16th, they both use the exact same phrase about the forces of life. Einstein says, over which we have no control. Amar Das says, over which they have no control in relation to God's creatures, which includes human beings. So there are many other quotes, but these quotes will certainly give people a basis from which to understand that destiny is, in fact, a fact of life.
It's interesting, Rich, that you mentioned that, because I was actually, when I was reviewing your books tonight, I went to Name Changes, which is in your, let's see, your The King's Book of Numerology, Volume 1, and that's the very first quote I saw when Jesus says that every hair on our head is numbered. He meant that our lives and their buildings, their structures, destinies are already fixed, constructed. And I, you know, it's interesting because I live in a very biblical area, Richard, you know, compared to maybe California. And if you mention numerology or astrology or something like that here, people just sort of smile at you like, bless her, you know, we'll pray for you. Type of thing. You can sense it. You know, I'm intuitive. And it's, but it's all in the Bible, and I'm not a biblical person, but you are so correct. And besides our great scholars, it's in the Bible about the numbers. And I want to comment on something that you said, because every time you say something, it reminds me of something else that I want to ask you about, is that when name changes are very key to me, because so many people get married and they change their names and all. But, you know, because of a family member that I have that once is just destined to change their name, but yet at the same time, somebody else could change their name without the proper guidance and they could mess things up, correct? When I say mess things up, talk to me about the destiny of that, because there's so much, I have so much intrigue on that.
Surely. Before, if I may, Dr. Vicky, I'd like to make a comment to your comment on people in your area and the Bible and them kind of, God bless her and so forth. Actually, yes. Early Christians, there were those who were numerologists. And also, when we look at the Bible, it is the richest numerological study on the planet. When we think of the way the numbers 3 is used, the number 4 is used, the number 7 is used, it's inescapable that there is this massive understanding of destiny in the Bible if people open their minds to it. They have to be free thinkers. They have to read that, making their own decisions. But when we look at take the number 3, for example, and I think you and I have talked about this before, there were 12 tribes of Israel, for example. That's a 3 in reduction. Noah was in the belly of the whale 3 days, or Jonah, 3 days and 3 nights. Christ was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, betrayed by Peter also in his, when the cock crowed 3 times. So he denied Christ. Christ was crucified on a mount with 2 others, which is 3. And on it goes. The same thing from the beginning of Genesis, if you read that, in the flood, the size of the ark was in 3s. Noah opened the door after the 40 days and 40 nights, when speaking of numbers, in the 10th hour of the 40, it's just amazing. So people should look at that if they're Christians and not really look down upon numerology, because numerology is a divine science. Numbers are God codes. There's no question in my mind about it. So they just need to be more educated. Now, getting to the point of changing names, whatever is in our destiny will occur. We cannot change the events of destiny. We can change our response to those events. So if somebody arbitrarily changes their name, then that is in their destiny to do so. It is wise, I think, if that is to be the case, to consult with a competent numerologist, because in my 35 years, what I have noticed is some people will change their names and go right from the frying pan into the fire. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, generally speaking, common names or name changes will not be as effective as the natal name. In all of the charts that I've done, the thousands and thousands of charts over the decades, the natal name, the name at birth, is the one that sets the destiny. Common names can have an influence if they are sincerely changed, not just to make money or to be famous or something. That never works. But it may be in somebody's destiny. Maybe, let's say this, that they're supposed to live the events of two lives in one lifetime. So with one name, they go through part of their life, and then all of a sudden they feel an impulse, an internal impulse, to change their name. That can have a dramatic effect on their life. Lance Armstrong is a perfect example, as well as other people.
Yes. I think that is the most intriguing story, because he had a destiny and he fulfilled that destiny and he continues to fulfill it. But it was the name change that possibly brought in the change of destiny. Is that a fair statement, or am I misunderstanding it?
Well, that was what was to happen. He was guided to do that. Actually, we're forced to follow our destiny. We don't really make the choice. Our destiny comes to us. And the thing with his chart, he wasn't born Lance Armstrong. He changed that name, and when he changed that name, he changed into a massive amount of 16-7 energy in the outcome portion of his life matrix, pinnacles, challenges, and epics, and that caused the downfall. So he's obviously meant to go through that, and there is nothing we can do to change it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about, since we're on the biblical for the moment, the number 666 has always been, well, I shouldn't say always, but in my world of being in the South, it's always been the numbers of the devil. But yet, when my studies of religion and past, 666 was supposed to be a very lucky number. So where did all that, do you know a whole lot about where all that came from, or what the 666 represents in numbers?
Yes, actually, I remember seeing a show, and maybe some of your audience has seen it. It was either on the History Channel or Nat Geo, and they were talking about the early Christians. And those early Christians they were referencing were numerologists, and the name Nero in their numerology system was a 666. And so the reference was really made to Nero, not because of a general statement for all time in all worlds. So that's what I remember that being. If that is the case, that would make total sense, because Nero was obviously anti-Christian. So that is where that originated, as far as I understand the history of that number.
Mm-hmm. But what does, from a numerology standpoint, forgetting about that for a moment, what does 666 represent?
Well, first we take the number 6 in itself. 6 is a reference of, think of the heart, that is the symbol for the 6. So it deals with the family, the household. It could be the homeland. Many famous politicians have the 6 in their charts, because 6 is a number of caring and nurturing and personal involvement. When we have 666, that's a triad, what we call a master triad. So we have 3 6s, which is a compounding of that energy. It equals a 9. 3 times 6 is 18. 1 and 8 are 9, which takes the person into the public realm. I don't see anything demonic in that number at all. It is just a number of immense love and nurturing, which can translate into the public domain with the 9 as its outcome.
It's very interesting, because I spoke with a realtor years and years ago, Richard, and there was a condo that was, you know, numbered 666, and that person had the most difficult time trying to fill it. And it's the same thing like the number 13. People always think of the number 13 as, I don't even think there's a 13 on airlines, because people see it, that number, as a number that is filled with bad luck. And I just think that's fascinating, how people assign something negative. But when you look at the number 13, it's a good thing?
I see it as transformation. And the number 13 has gotten a bad rap. If one studies the history of that number, originally it was considered a very lucky number, because it was action, the 1 on 3, which is life, to create a new transformation. But think of hotels that are high rises. They don't have the number 13. They go right from 12 to 14, which is one of mankind's delusions that we live under, because the 14th floor is really the 13th floor, and people are trying to deny the fact that there's a 13. No, to me, that's just nonsense. I just don't believe in that at all. It is a number of transformation, however, but transformation in the structure of somebody's life. But I certainly don't see it as negative, just transformative.
Right. One of the beautiful gifts that you give to society is your numerology chart. And without going into details about it, because I'm not an expert on that, obviously, but there is something that you do for me personally every year, and I want to share that, not necessarily the specifics, but when you do a chart for someone like myself, because I know you do full charts and readings full of relationship analysis, but for just this one aspect of the numerology chart for me, I want to share with everyone that every month I know about what's, you know, without you telling me, Richard, this is going to happen. You don't go there. I know that. But yet at the same time, I can look at my chart and say, ah, today is the 11th of October, and I know that things are shifting for me in the next 2 months. You've already told me that, 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting miracles. Now, am I over expectation? No. I'm just knowing that there's going to be a major shift for the better in my, because my numbers are even better, 8s and 1s for me. Somebody else that might be different. But, you know, the voids are, I don't even see any voids in my chart until we do another one in March. I don't even see any more voids after October 15th that are playing heavily in my chart. So talk to me about how you can help people live their life better on a day-to-day basis by doing this annual numerology chart.
Well, first, numbers are labels for energy fields. And so what I do for you and all my clients that want an annual update is to show them the energy patterns that are going to be active during each month of their natal year. Our years really start on our birthday and go to the following year. They do not start on January 1st unless you're born on the 1st of January. So what I do is try to give them an indication of the positive energy fields and the negative energy fields. Bear in mind that every number has two sides, a positive and negative. But we don't know specifically what will happen, but we do know the energy fields that a person is going to be in. Now, from my standpoint, and I mentioned this in KBN 3 and 4, the King's Book of Numerology 3 and 4, that there are 21 different aspects of a numerology chart that I consult before I ever do an analysis or a reading. So people give me their information. I will construct their chart. I will study it before we ever sit down to a consultation. That takes several hours. So that's basically what I look for, are those differences and the intensities of different energies. And then I relate those to you and my clients who like to have that service every year.
What's fascinating also is that if someone, okay, let's just say someone's adopted, Richard.
Right.
And they don't know their birth name. Now, you would do a reading or an analysis for the year for them. And to say it's in a relationship, because you do wonderful relationship readings and assessments and analysis and consultations. But let's just say, you know, that someone's adopted and they don't know their original name. How does that affect their reading? Because you don't, you know, they were adopted, or maybe they don't know they were adopted, but they had a different name at birth, but then they moved on with a new name. How does that affect the reading or the consultation?
It would have a major effect, because in order for me to do my work as perfectly as I can, I need the full name at birth and the birth date. Now, some people have had four names, and they'll say, well, one client I had said, well, my dad was Russian and he gave me one spelling. My mother was German. She gave me another spelling, and da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
So I had to look at their life and go through every one of those names to see which one of those names resonated with the life of the person. That was one way. But if I don't have any name to go on from the original name, I will use the common name and see what that says. And then I will ask people, does this resonate with you, what I'm telling you? And if they say it doesn't, then I'll know that that name, that there's a deeper name there. Because the letters of our name are not happenstance. We don't have a certain destiny because we were born on a certain date with a certain name, but rather we were born with a certain name on a certain date because we have a certain destiny. And that our destiny is, in fact, encased in the letters of our birth name and birth date. That to me, that's just, I wouldn't be doing numerology after 35 years if that were not true. And that's one of the lessons I think that people can learn, is that there's so much more to life than what we know. They think their names are arbitrary. Our names are not arbitrary. They're very specific to the destiny that we have.
I know that when people are getting ready to have a child, that would be one of the most important gifts that they could give themselves and their child would be to have a numerology reading with you, because you could help them. Now, one thing I want to share, it just popped in my head, that my family member, my daughter, without going into her names, obviously, is for her privacy, obviously, but she was born with a certain number that you told me about. And then when she had another name, and then she's finally going into her new name, and they all have very similar destinies, but except I think that's just fascinating. Like you're saying, she has a destiny regardless of her name, but it will help her to fulfill it with this new name change, I feel. And talk to us about how that happens where someone, like I think hers was always an 11. You know, when you added all the numbers up, maybe I'm thinking of something else, but it seemed like it was always in the number 11.
Uh-huh. Well, first of all, if we have a birth date, that's going to give us a lot of information. And that's one of the benefits of knowing our destiny is that birth date describes the path in life that we are going to go down. There are nine different life path numbers, basically nine different worlds. Each of us is placed on that energetic world. And so all of our life lessons, subjects, themes are going to revolve around and concentrate on those specific principles and concepts and characteristics. So if we know our birthday, we'll at least know that. Now, as far as name changes go with your daughter or anybody, what I find is that when people change their names, oftentimes they change to an exact number that resonates with their original name because they are their energy. Remember, each of us is energy. And if there's any message that I think is really powerful, it's for people to understand that we're more than flesh and bone and blood and brain. We are really energy, and a composite of different makeups, compositions of energy fields. So if we have one energy, it would make sense that if we're trying to change it, we would change to a number of that same energy. Not always. Now, in your daughter's case, she came from another country to you. So basically, she started a new life. And that's what I was referencing earlier. It could very well be that her destiny was to have a name to fulfill the first part of her life. But then when she changed and migrated to you, that now she had a different destiny. And now that new name that she chose is the name that focuses on her destiny going forward. And then we can blend those two and check and see how they correlate with each other. But that's how I feel about that.
Right. Okay. Now, when you work with married couples, people that are about to get married, you do a full relationship analysis with charts and you consult with folks. And to me, you know, I don't know that if you do this or not, Richard, but if you, you know, it seems like such a great marketing idea for you to work with these marriage groups that you know, provide the cake, they provide the everything, you know, to have your service be a part of their program. I think that would be such a fantastic way to begin a relationship, is to know your strengths and whatever that you can do to make your relationship better. How would that work? I mean, how do you help people if they're about to have a relationship or even if they're in one already?
Well, I think, Dr. Vicki, if we get to the stage of the cake's been ordered and it's coming, it's a little bit late.
Too late.
Because, well, they may not like what I tell them, because sometimes people come together during a transitory energy field. And so everything is nice and good and so on and so forth. But that transitory energy field is transitory. It may not be permanent. And so after they get married, after a year or so, they found out, oh my gosh, or maybe even after 9 years, they find this is really not the way it was in the beginning. I see that happen all of the time. But that was, number one, their destiny. But if people are going to seriously consider getting married, I would recommend they read Your Love Numbers, Discovering the Secrets of Your Life, Loves, and Relationships. That's one of the books I've written. And consult me, because I got started in numerology because of my research in relationships. And I wanted to find out what makes great relationships great and what doesn't. And you can see that numerologically. And I will tell people, as I tell them in Your Love Numbers, the number one key of all great relationships is that one person's soul energies match another person's either life path expression or PE. That's what we call the umbrella. That is mentioned in Your Love Numbers. If that soul energy does not have soul release, that relationship will be jeopardized from the very beginning, because that soul must have a resonance, a release to the outside world. The soul defines our basic needs, wants, motivations, and desires. Those must be met. If they're not met, then we're going to be miserable. And oftentimes, there could be this transitory energy field that meets those needs, but then after a little while, it's gone. There has to be a composite amount, an amalgam that has an enough energy between the two people to make that relationship work for life, not just for a certain amount of time. And the reason I wrote that book was because there are so many divorces and so many broken relationships because people are making these commitments based on superficial things such as money, such as sex, such as popularity, fame, fortune. Oh, I'll hook up with this person because they've got these attributes, rather than looking at the energies between the two people. And that is really critical. So if it's early on in a relationship, I recommend you do that to see if this thing's going to work. If it's, and I will tell you this is good or if it's not. I don't blow smoke at people because it's, I don't want to get a bad reputation for giving you nice things that never come true. I'm really very direct. I think all my clients will tell you. They may not like what I tell them, but what I tell them is true, and it usually comes to fruition. That's my suggestion there.
All right. Well, I know with mine, you know, I knew that there were going to be, and there are major changes going on. I always thought, and I want to remind people that this can happen. You do not tell people that ABC is going to happen. It's like, you know, when I first went to you, it was always about selling my house. Well, my house isn't even on the market now. So obviously my transformation this year is not going to be because my home sold, although it could happen. I mean, somebody could come in and offer me $500,000 and I just might sell it, you know, right. But it right. isn't going to be because it's on the market. But my question is that, or my statement, I should say, is that when you're doing a session with someone, they have to know that you can't just necessarily put, you know, Rich said this, when in fact it isn't really necessarily something that you said. It's just an energy that's going to shift. It could be that it could be a house sale or it could be something new, but it will be a transformation. And that's what I think is so beautiful about your work, because you don't want to step on other people's, you know, journey and tell them, yes, this is what's going to happen. I mean, that's like a psychic, a situation where you can, you know, change someone's life for them, which I hear is not good karmically. Well, what are some other consultations that you like to do for people?
First of all, can I comment on what you just said?
Oh, sure, of course.
So what I do is look at energy fields, and I tell people these are the potentials, positive and negative, because every number has two sides. I don't deal in actualities. I deal in potentialities because, frankly, there are too many variables. And I could say one thing, and it may be incorrect. But if we look at a number, let's say somebody's coming into an energy field that is saturated with nine energies. Well, nine is a number of conclusions and expansions. So that means that during that time period, there will be conclusions of some type. There will be things ending and there could be things expanding. Exactly what that will be, I don't know. And I tell people that I don't know, and I've never gone into that kind of psychic work. I'm not a psychic. I just see energy fields, and at least people can be aware that that's going to happen. If somebody is coming into a 16-7 energy field, it's a very challenging time period. The 16-7 is a number of testing, of moral testing, of spiritual testing, ethical testing. And if somebody knows that going in, then they can be prepared to deal with those particular issues. I don't tell them exactly what's going to happen because I don't know, but they will be tested in those general categories. So that's the comment. Now, what was you're going to ask me some consultations?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like when I look at the chart that you did for me, I know that things are ending, and I don't see that as a bad thing, but what I see that it is a new beginning. And what is so wonderful about having your chart is that I can look at this on a monthly basis and say, okay, because you and I have had this discussion many, many, many times, is that, you know, I'll see my voids, you know, when you're doing a chart, and I don't want to say anything that will confuse people, but if you have voids in your chart, which Richard talked about the last time, and it's on the archives, by the way, of BBS, so you can go back and listen to that. But when I look at my chart and I see, you know, my voids there, I'm thinking, okay, you know, make something beautiful of this, as opposed to, oh my goodness, it's going to be, the next 2 months are going to be crises. And that's how you've helped me, because I don't sit there and say, oh my gosh, Oh, no, it's 3 months of voids. Okay, so yes, I'm going to have to probably be more internalized, but in the end, it's going to be more beautiful. And I think that's what how it's helped me a lot, is because I don't know what your other clients have said, but I think that's, to me, that has helped so much.
Well, there are three ways, voids, by the way, for your audience who doesn't know my work.
Yes.
These are missing energies in the birth name. So, for example, the letters A, J, and S all equal a 1. So if a person had a 1 void, they would have no A's, J's, or S's in their name. Voids can be problematic. There are three ways that I've discovered that voids are managed. One, people can fill them up, which is what I recommend they do. And what they do, let's say you have a 6 void, which rules family and love and so forth and nurturing, then study the positive aspect of what 6 is, which is love and nurturing and leadership in the family and so forth. If they're not operating in that aspect to fill that void up, then they can run into problems with that void, and it could end up being hatred and vindictiveness and jealousy and envy and all of those kinds of things. Or sometimes people can just ignore the void. But generally, voids can create challenges. But as long as we know what the issue is, we can deal with it. If we don't know what it is, we can't deal with it. And this is one of the beautiful things about numerology, is the forecasting part. When you see, for example, if you are going to go through a minefield, wouldn't it be nice to know where the mines are? if you have a hurricane coming, aren't you happy when you know, well, you may not like it to come, but you might go, okay, at least I know it's coming. I have time to batten down the hatches to get out of town or do whatever. Same thing's true for a nor'easter coming down from the north. If you've got one coming and you know it, you can prepare for it. And that's one of the huge advantages of numerology forecasting in the King's numerology system, is that you know when these periods are coming because they're cyclical and we can deal with them. In your chart, your yearly chart, we show every 9 months these numbers are going to change, and we can see the changes happening, and then we can deal with them accordingly, but we don't get blindsided by them.
Well, interesting. Now tell me how numerology relates or is compared to astrology, because you're still looking at the birth date.
Yes, but in astrology you're not looking at the name. I started my search in this science with astrology, but I was led to numerology because numerology to me is more precise, because it deals with the person's name, and every letter of that name has an energy attached to it, as well as the birth date. Highly complex, but it's nice to see that we have two factors which merge together to create the destiny rather than just the birth date. Now, this said, I have had astrologers in my time. You get a very good astrologer, they can tell you a lot of things that are very accurate about your life. I just choose the numerology. That's the way I was taught. In fact, it was my astrologer who told me almost 40 years ago that one day I would be a numerologist, if you can believe that. And here we are, 35 years and 10 books later. So it just depends on your particular art that you're drawn to. Mine, of course, was numerology.
Right, and you have such a gift for that. Now, when you're doing a chart, like I'll use me for example. I don't choose to have another relationship, you know, at least a marriage this lifetime. Now, when if you were to look at my chart, and you don't have to discuss my chart, but I'm using myself as an example, would you be able to advise someone that's listening to say, you know what, you might have another relationship, or if they're in their 30s or something, yes, you might have another marriage. Would you be able to have insight into that to help someone with that?
Good. Yes. When we look at people who are single, for example, their charts are dominated by the numbers 1, 5, and 7. 1 is being solo, 5 is being free and detached, 7 is being solitary. And so if their charts are heavily anchored in these numbers, there is an excellent possibility that these people are going to be alone. Now, for those people who say, oh, that scares them, I would suggest otherwise, because the greatest advantage we have as humans, speaking from a spiritual standpoint, is that we can, as human beings, connect with God. We best connect with God when we're alone because we don't have the responsibilities or the other kinds of things that would detract us from the time necessary to make that internal connection through meditation, being alone, thinking, and so on and so forth. So there is a great boon to being alone. Now, if somebody did not have a lot of ones, fives, and sevens, but had a lot of social numbers, twos, fours, sixes, and eights, and none of those were voided, those people will generally have relationship-oriented lives. They're going to have marriages or partnerships or so on and so forth. If people are coming into a 16-7 period, then that can reference trouble in a relationship, which can end up in divorce or can end up in problems. There can be betrayals or even adulteries in that because the one of the action is focusing on the six of love or lust. Six can be either. It has a subcap. When you subtract the one from six, you get a five, which is experience and exploration. And the seven, when you add the one and the six, then you get this solitary, secretive, private energy. And we see in the charts of people who experience these issues of betrayal, that number is highly prominent. It's also highly prominent in the charts of people who have deaths, who die in the spirits. For example, Amelia Earhart, Michael Jackson, Marilyn Monroe, John F. Kennedy, at their passing, they all had 88, 16, 7 energy dominant in their charts. I talk about this wow. in Destinies of the Rich and Famous, The Secret Numbers of Extraordinary Lives. So I take 12 people and show people their numbers and then also what happens in their life so they can correlate those.
Wow. Well, Sandy is on line one, and I know that you, how are you, Sandy?
I am doing fine, thank you very much. I have a question for Rich.
Hi, okay. Hi,
for
Sandy.
Richard.
Sorry. Hi, Sandy.
Hi there. Hi. My question is this. I'm about to have some necessary bone graft dental kind of work done. And I have an appointment tomorrow to go to see about taking commercial acting lessons, improv lessons, because there are things I need to learn, stage directions, before I go on auditions, which I will be doing. Could you, and I want to make an appointment with you, could you tell me, give me the information about whether or not now would be the best time for me to go ahead and go into these classes and pursue this, or if I should wait until after the work is done in a session? I don't expect you to answer that now.
Well, I can give you some input on that. First of all, yes, I would, and to give you an accurate professional assessment, I would have to look at your entire chart to guide you. But from a universal perspective, tomorrow will be the 12th. The 12 is a 3, and that is an energy of media, of communication, and it judges everything that you are in. For those of you who don't know, Sandy is a stand-up comic. And so I wouldn't mind doing that. It's a universal energy. So it would be on that particular note, it would be very good. And you do have threes in your name. It's not like you're void of three, so that would be a positive. I wouldn't worry about that tomorrow. It's a three energy, and when you add that 11 to the 10 of the month, you get a 21, so the pinnacle of that day is also a three. That would be very good. When you subtract the 10 from 11, you get a one, so that's a challenge of new beginnings, which is exactly what that would be. So I wouldn't worry about that. I would go ahead and go for it. And here's the thing, too. We don't have to know our destiny if we don't choose to, but learning to follow our gut can be very important. Here's how I make my decisions. Honestly, this is what I do. If I'm in a query about what to do, I just go ahead and make a decision and go for it. If what I choose to do does not materialize, it was not meant for me to do that. It was not my destiny. If it does materialize, then it was in my destiny. We can't avoid our destiny. It's not like we choose to do something. Our destiny will compel us to move in that work. So I would just go for it. And if it happens at the end of the day, you'll know that was in your destiny to do. And you wouldn't have to talk to me at this point about that.
Okay, I will be getting an entire life chart done by you later, and I would just like to state before I get off the phone that the one session I had with Richard was during a very low point in my life. I was physically sick, and I had been depressed, and he was able to say things not just I needed to hear in the in a physical universe type way, but from a spiritual type way, that he uplifted me and helped me. And I very much know that you have a gift of helping and guiding others and helping them get on their true life path and have success. And that's just all I want to say today.
Thank you, Sandy. That's very kind of you.
Thank you.
Okay, and y'all be blessed, and I'll listen to the rest of the show, and talk to y'all later.
Okay. Thank you. I do want to make a comment that you are offering all listeners tonight, correct me if I'm off on this, but through October 31st, which is October 31st is Halloween, which is a Saturday, a little over two weeks from now, and you're offering different prices, and you're giving everyone 25% off for those that are, and then 150% off special for everyone, correct?
Okay. Yes. Would you like me to mention those specials?
Yes, I'm having them in front of me, but I'd rather you talk about them. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one is a full chart and a reading for one person. That's one name. If I have to go into finding out different names, like the person who had four, I'd have to charge more money. But if it's one name, person knows their natal name and so forth, the normal price for that is $300. I construct a chart, and then we do a consultation that is at least an hour. I promise an hour, but anybody that's ever had a reading with me knows that they go a lot longer than that. And that's $225 only through the end of this month, so you save $75. I do my standard relationship analysis and consultation between any two people with two names and birth dates. Normally, it's $199, and it's $149, so you save $50 there. The deluxe relationship analysis between two people and a relationship, which includes life charts and life readings for each person, plus a relationship chart and another mutual consultation. So that's three different consultations on the phone. That normally sells for $7.99, and I'm offering it $5.99. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of information about your relationship and your life and your destiny. That's the deluxe version. And then a one-hour personal consultation. You can ask me anything like related to numerology. You may be a numerologist seeking other viewpoints. It's normally $100. This would be $50, so it's 50% off on this one. Those specials are through the end of this month, and people can contact me, rich@richardking.net, or go to my website, richardking.net, and you can contact me through there. So thank you for allowing me to share that information.
Sure. And you can also go to richardking.net for books as well if you want to. And if you're in the car and you can't remember any of it, just go to my website and I will email me or something like that, and I will connect you up with Richard. Because by the way, you did a wonderful analysis. Now when you talk about relationships, you always think man, woman, or you know, marriage equality. So I don't want to, but I mean, I had one for my daughter and I. So it doesn't have to be just, with romantic situations. Having one with your own child can be powerful.
Very, very powerful. And it's great for parents in relation to their children. Two of my books relate to parenting. One is called Parenting Wisdom for the 21st Century, Raising Your Children by Their Numbers to Achieve Their Highest Potential. That talks about the numerological aspects, how to compute your child's basic matrix and what that means. And then a second book, Parenting Wisdom, What to Teach the Children, contains 33 principles of life. It's not numerologically based. It's just on my experience of raising my own children, helping raise them with their mother, but also through 50 years of teaching martial arts and what needs to be done to raise children up, giving them certain principles of life. So those are available. But yes, if parents know their numbers, their children's numbers, it is massively powerful going forward because you can guide your children on who they are, not on who you want them to be. So that's how I got started with that parenting wisdom book, because I've had parents who have raised their children based on what they wanted. And then when they looked at their children's charts, they go, oh my God, I've been raising my children the wrong way. Because in this one case I'm thinking of, which is the basis of your love numbers, I mentioned this story, a mother, a wonderful woman, but she had a lot of 8 energy in her chart, which is an energy of interaction and engagement, social engagement particularly. It's very, very commercial, very business-like, very social. But her son had a lot of 7 energy, which is not social. So she was trying to raise him by what she thought he should be based on her life. When she saw his life path given to him, when he was having this reading, he just smiled from ear to ear. And his mother turned to me immediately and said, oh my God, I have been raising my child the wrong way for 17 years. So if she had known what her child was, what he wanted at his most intimate moments, that's in his soul, what his personality was, the life path he was going to follow, the role he was going to give on the great life stage, his strengths and weaknesses and all of those things, she would have been able to focus in a positive direction and helped her son create a stronger foundation of wholeness and well-being for himself based on who he was, not on what she wanted him to be. That is so vitally important, and I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, it's been very powerful in raising my daughter because she and I are very, very different, very much alike, though, in many ways. Yet she's never going to be a lawyer. She's never going to go to 8 years of schooling like I did in the formal capacity. Right. But you know what? This coming summer, Richard, she goes to a month of camp counselor leadership training. After that, she heads down, after coming home for a short time, she heads down to Disney World because she wants to see if acting is going to work for her. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, then let's go to the best acting group around here that we can go to, and let's see how you do with that. And you know, just live your life. I mean, it is very powerful to not have expectations for our children, to let them actually have some self-empowerment. I mean, it's a very freeing. I didn't do that on my first child, let me tell you. I did not do that. But,
well, not,
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that this, that what I'm offering is new. This has never been really done before, and at least to this extent with the King's Numerology system. And so you can't be faulted, but once people know, they can never not know. This information is available to them. I think you're validating that it's accurate. If people read the endorsements they've given me, those endorsements confirm the accuracy of this work, which is really divinely based. I don't see things as coming from me, Dr. Vicki. I see them always just coming through me. And so I'm happy just to be able to help people with not just numbers, but with some spiritual input about how to improve their life.
Yes. Well, I think that's just beautiful. I hope that if you don't have a chance to call in tonight, because we have just a few more minutes, but just go to the archives or call, Richard up or at his Rich. Let me look at your email again now, rich@richardking.net. And that way you can communicate and, you know, hook up with Mr. King during this month, if you can at all possible, because numbers are, understanding your destiny will make a big difference. And, you know, working in the field that I've worked in, Richard, people, that's what people want to know about. You know, what's happening here? They want to know. And wisdom is powerful. Wisdom is powerful.
It is. And I would encourage, if there are any psychologists, marriage counselors, therapists, and I do have those. Some PhDs have endorsed my work, as you have, and I'm grateful for those endorsements. This can help people immensely because it gets to the heart of the matter immediately. We can see problems that anybody has right from the get-go, right from the day they're born. Within the first 5 minutes of a child's life, if we have the full name and birth date, we can construct a blueprint of that child's life for the rest of that life, and it will be accurate. And so we can zero in on any problems or challenges that child may have in the very beginning and deal with it at that point. Another aspect, another benefit, if I may, is that when older people, they say, well, I don't I need to know my future. No, but, you know, a lot of times people carry over pains and problems and heartaches from the beginning part of their life that go unresolved. And when we go back in their life and we look at what happened early on in their life, they may have had problems. A lot of people have problems with their father or with their mother. We can see those. But then their lives may change, and we can see that in the numbers. And then at that point, they need to understand to let go of the past. That was destined to happen, and therefore get on with a fresh start in a way without having to carry this heavy load of feeling badly for the rest of their lives on their shoulders.
I think sometimes it's difficult, though. That's why people need consultations, is to help them to release that, because sometimes they don't even know what they're hanging on to. And that's where the wisdom of understanding and knowing your destiny can help. Do you not agree?
No, absolutely. Well, of course.
Yeah. Well, of course. But I mean, you know, if you don't know what's there that's bothering you, or you do know, but you don't know how to let go of it, boy, I mean, that can be. And I have to share with you on transformation, because I know in my chart, it's a year of transformation. But I have to tell you, most of the transformations, at least, and I'm just beginning, have been coming from a viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Simplest, most beautiful. I mean, I sit there, Richard, and cry because I am in such deep gratitude for some simple little beautiful gift of transformation and wisdom that has come to me, because one, I'm expecting it, I'm looking forward to it, and I ask for miracles every day. Yet there's, like you say, it's a timing issue, and all of a sudden things that get me upset or something, I look for the gift in it, and I say, wow, now I'm starting to see this transformation year that you have shared with me. And I can't wait to do my next chart in March, because I know that's the big year. But the good news is that, you know, we don't have to have transformation changes in our lives, y'all, that have to be like so huge that, you know, don't expect some giant person to come down. Just, it can be just the simplest shift of viewpoint that can transform your life. Sure. And I think that's what's not wonderful about numbers is I could sit here and talk all night about your numerology charts, because I find them very, very powerful. Self-empowering. How about that?
Well, thank you. And I think that's one of the great benefits of numerology, is that in order to know ourselves, these really dig deeply. I have had, and it doesn't have anything to do with intelligence. For example, one of my clients in the past, not my numerology clients, but one of my martial art clients, was very brilliant guy. He's either CEO of his own company or a vice president or something. But he was an engineer by trade, and he did not even know what he was all about. We had a discussion. He says, I don't know what I'm about. Well, how can we make progress if we don't know what we're about? So it was in his destiny not to know, obviously. And that's one thing you'll find, is that people who want to know what's in their destiny will seek that information out. But there are people who don't want to know for a myriad number of reasons. Maybe they're just not interested in it. Maybe they're not supposed to make spiritual progress in this lifetime. Maybe if knowing this information would keep them from experiencing the karma that they need to experience in order to further their own progress.
Well, I mean, and you mentioned something, I can't get too much into it because of our timing, but, you know, one of the worst situations that ever happened in my life, which showed in my numerology chart, you know, the loss of my son, brought in the greatest gift that I've had, is my daughter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a destiny there that, you know, it showed up. You did not know me. And this is what I want to share with everyone. I never mentioned any of this to Mr. King. So it's not like he took what I said and divvied it up. But it showed in my chart when that happened, you know, when that life-changing event happened in my past. And it's amazing to me how all of those numbers just, you know, you can see. I mean, you told me everything about my past. I never mentioned a word about it, because you could see where this and this and this and this happened. So numbers, that's why it's, you know, it's powerful. Yes, go ahead.
Numbers give us vision. I remember, this was decades ago, I had a couple come in that they were having marital problems. They'd been married for quite some time, about 20 years or so. And as I'm talking to these people, the wife goes, I never knew that about my husband. And then the husband says, you've told me more in 1 hour than anybody's ever told me in my entire life. And these were people that were in their 50s. But that's the power of numbers, because remember, numbers are codes, divine codes for energy fields. They are accurate. And we just need to dig deeper to understand what these numbers represent, because numbers are a universal language. As Pythagoras said, numbers rule the universe. Everything is arranged according to number and mathematical shape, and it is true. And the reason I'm still doing this, and I'm still even more hooked on it than I ever have been, is because I can see the benefit of understanding this science and how it can help people both on a practical level, but also on a spiritual level.
Well, thank you so much, Richard Andrew King, for being on Living Your Soul's Journey this evening. I know that we'll be back again, and y'all be sure and go visit him and get his books and get a session with him and get to know your destiny. Thank you again, Mr. King.
Thank you, Dr. Vicki. As always, I appreciate it.
Yes, and y'all be blessed. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you next week. Good night.